Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and Merry Christmas. And I want to thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with the passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. For the second year in a row, Child Evangelism Fellowship has been involved in a special Christmas outreach called Christmas Across America. For the whole goal is to reach unreached and unchurched children with the gospel by holding these Christmas party clubs in new locations where we've never had outreaches before. Last year, CEF USA nationwide reached over 62,000 children by conducting almost 2,500 Christmas Across America party clubs last December. And here in our state in Illinois, we also participated. Through our CEF of Illinois staff and volunteers last Christmas, we held 55 Christmas party clubs, reaching over 1,000 children in new locations through our church ministry partnerships and our volunteers. And this year, when we get all of our reports in for this past December, we hope it will be the same. But the goal is not about reaching a certain number of children or seeing how many Christmas party clubs that we can do in a single month. No, the goal is simply to reach as many children as possible and to share with them the true meaning of Christmas, that it's all about Jesus. This year, our Christmas Party Club theme was called the Backwards Birthday Bash, and it's all about the gift. In fact, the Bible lesson visual itself is shaped like a gift that you continue to unwrap, unfolding the true Christmas story right before the children's very eyes. As I was thinking about the message of the gift that we desire to share with the children this past December, I was checked in my spirit about the importance of sharing with the children not just about the things of the gift that we receive when we believe on Jesus, but about the person of the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who is the very gift of God. After all, Christmas is not about things, it's about a person. It's about Jesus. I believe even in our Bible teaching or in our gospel presentation, sometimes we have a tendency to get so wrapped up in the things of the gift of salvation that we often forget about the person of the gift, who is the gift Himself. We can easily get things out of sorts and out of focus, or even lose the very emphasis and the very entire point of the gospel message. Just like the gift is not about things, but about a person, so the gospel is not just about understanding things about the gospel or even theological things, but it's all about knowing the person, knowing Christ. The gospel message isn't about knowing just content and context. The gospel at its very core, at its center, is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I know, for example, that I have been very guilty of this myself often in my gospel presentations. How many times have I said to children, "Now, boys and girls, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can have your sins forgiven." Or, "If you believe in the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, the Bible says that you can have the gift of eternal life, life forever with Jesus." Now, both of those statements, they are biblical, and they are true, absolutely. But instead of emphasizing just the gifts and the things that we receive in our salvation, why don't we emphasize more about our Lord and our Savior, who is the one who provides for our salvation? Shouldn't we be making more of the one who made our salvation even possible because of His great love and His kindness, His patience, the forbearance of God, and His rich eternal mercy, instead of just focusing on our sins forgiven and our promise of heaven? In evangelical circles, we love to make much of the atonement, for example, of the cross and what the work of Jesus accomplished for us in our behalf. But wouldn't we be more accurate to make much more of the Savior who left it all, became our all, so that He could give Himself all away for us on our behalf? I know this may seem like it's just word shifting or the gospel presentation sleight of hand, but it's not. Our emphasizing and sharing with others about the gift of salvation needs to be less on the things of the gift, on the things of the salvation that we receive, and more on the one who purchased our salvation by giving Himself all for us, who is in fact the very gift of God. For example, one thing, Jesus Himself even talked about this. Do you remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, in John chapter 4, verse 10? Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." Here in John chapter 4, we see one of the names of Jesus that Jesus reveals of Himself. Jesus is not just our wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, and mighty God. Jesus says that he himself is the gift of God. This is one of Jesus' names. The woman at the well was looking at only a gift, the gift of water, and physical water at that. But what Jesus wanted her to do was to lift up her spiritual eyes and to see him, that he himself is the gift, the true gift of God, and the only gift, and that he is the everlasting, eternal, living water that has no end. Jesus also said the same thing in another way in John chapter 17 in his high priestly prayer, both for his disciples and for us the night before he went to the cross. Listen to what Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 3. Jesus says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." I don't know if you caught that or not, but Jesus in this one verse gives us both the definition of eternal life and also tells us how we can inherit eternal life. You see, eternal life is not wrapped up in just the having. Eternal life is all about the knowing, because to know the only true God and his Son Jesus Christ that he has sent, this is eternal life. And it's also only by knowing the true God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have eternal life. So to know Christ is to know eternal life. For this is eternal life. It is to know him. I love the balance in God's word between the Old Testament and the New Testament. One thing that I've learned over the years, that when it comes to gleaning biblical principles from Scripture, is that a biblical principle or a biblical truth should be seen or balanced out in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes, you may have one biblical truth in one part that's more clear than the other, but if truth is truth, there needs to be a biblical counterpart in both halves of the Scripture, in both the Old and the New Testaments. One of my favorite verses, and one that I personally committed to memory long ago from the Old Testament that also brings out the same truth, is Jeremiah 9:24, that says this, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." It's as if God is saying to us, you think that you know a lot about me? Well, if you're going to boast in anything, then boast in this, boast in understanding and knowing that you know me, that you know who I am, that you know that I am the Lord. In other words, knowing God and knowing Christ isn't about what you know, but in who you know. This year has been quite the year for me. Since my snow skiing accident back in February, almost a year ago, it's been quite a trip for me, in more ways than one. I actually figured out for this whole past year, I've spent almost 8 months in a wheelchair or on crutches or using a walker, and only 4 months of unassisted walking for the whole entire year. I have spent more time hobbling through this year than I have been walking through this year. This past October 25th was my knee surgery date. While getting ready for the surgery, I wasn't really nervous or scared about anything, all except for one thing. I was a little uneasy about the whole knocking out process because I was afraid that they might knock me out too much to do the surgery and they would end up knocking me straight to heaven. I wouldn't wake up this side of earth. But that whole morning, I was calm and collect until they put me in my little surgery outfit and the little hat they put on me and the little shoes they put on me. And then they put me on the hospital gurney and then they wheeled me down to the surgery room. But then right before we got to the surgery room, the nurse said she forgot something and she left me in the hallway by myself for a few minutes. And there I was, just outside the surgery room, alone in the hallway, and I was facing a medical cabinet that was filled with surgical supplies. And as I stared at this cabinet all by myself in the hallway right outside the surgery room, I decided it was a time to have a little turkey talk with Jesus. And I just began to just flow from my heart. I said, "Jesus, you know, I've known a lot about you ever since I was a child. I've known you like all my life. You've been my Lord and my Savior for so many years. I know a lot about you. I know your word. I've taught your word. I've memorized your word. I've studied your word. But the cry of my heart is that I need to know you more. I need to know you, Jesus. I need to draw closer to you. If you bring me through this, then let my life from this time on be about one thing, knowing you." But you know what? God doesn't just want this for me. God wants this for all of his people. God wants and desires this for all of our hearts. God wants us not to just know about him. He wants us to know him, to know Christ, who is the very gift of God. This was also the same heart cry of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote a letter towards the end of his life to the Philippians when he was in prison in Rome, where he would soon lay down his life before Caesar, all for the sake of knowing Jesus. Paul, who knew the Lord very well, wrote these amazing words in Philippians 3:10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote almost half the books of the New Testament, the one who had seen the living Christ, the resurrected Christ on the Damascus Road, who wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and had been caught up into the third heaven, whatever that means, this same Apostle Paul said, he said, I want to know Christ. I want to know him more. How can that be? But what's interesting to me is that the Apostle Paul here in this passage not only tells us of the importance of knowing Christ, but he tells us how we can know Christ. Listen again what Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Yes, we do grow to know Christ through knowing him, by having fellowship with him, by spending time with the Lord in prayer and poring and pondering over his word. But a 15-minute, 30-minute, or an hour-long devotional Bible time with Jesus can only take you so far. And even serving Christ in ministry, ministering to others, or even serving in a vocational ministry can only take you so far. It's only when our fleshly hopes and dreams and even familial relationships with others and all that we have trusted in and hoped in and secured in become shattered and broken, and all that we have known has been stripped away and crucified in the flesh, that we then begin to fully lean on Jesus and desire to know him more. And it's only through knowing Christ and knowing the power of his resurrection, trusting alone in him who has the power to bring his resurrection power to bear, to bring forth his new life in us, that we can begin to understand what it means to know Christ, the Christ who is our life. God wants our whole life, body, soul, and spirit, every part of our life to be all for him, to be Christ, for Christ alone is our life. As the Apostle Paul said earlier in the book of Philippians, he says, for me to live, Christ. It is only when we have known Christ by walking with him through the times of shadow and darkness that we can say that we truly know him when we walk with him in the times of sunshine and light. And that's why the Apostle Paul, who walked with Christ through a multitude of moments of darkness and despair, casting his very soul and body and spirit all upon the Lord and trusting alone in Christ and the power of his resurrection, cried out from the depths of his heart, saying again and again, if suffering is what it takes to know Christ, then so be it. I want to know him more. I want to know Christ. We don't know what's in store for us this year or from one year to the next, but we do know one thing, that the Lord wants us to know him and to grow in knowing him more. And that's what God wants for us this Christmas season, his gift to us, that we would know him. And the same is true of what God wants for the children who heard the gospel message this Christmas season about the Lord Jesus, who is the very gift of God. God wants the children, he wants them to come to know him and to grow in knowing him more and more. There are only two groups of children in our Bible clubs or in our communities or in our churches that we reach, just as there are only two groups of people in this entire world. There are only two groups. There are those who need to know Christ and to come to know Christ, and there are those who do know Christ, but they need to grow in knowing him more. There are only two groups. Which one are you? Let's remember this Christmas season to not get so wrapped up in all the peripheral things, but let's grow daily in knowing the person of Jesus Christ, who is our one thing, and say along with the Apostle Paul more each day, I want to know him more. I want to know Christ. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations. This is a special radio program for us as we are celebrating our 100th program since we started over 2.5 years ago. We praise the Lord for an opportunity to be a blessing to you and to encourage you in your walk with the Lord Jesus and in telling the future generations about Jesus. May the Lord bless you this Christmas season and as you grow daily in knowing and loving the Lord and making him known to others in the coming year. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me.